And for our last song, let's turn to song number 508. Footprints of Jesus, song number 508. Now, this time we'll look to Brother Ralph Beiler for our devotions.
Good evening. It's good to be with you here, singing those familiar hymns and yet a new message again for us today. Blessed by those songs. This morning, in our Sunday school study, there's a thought that's caught my attention, and we discussed it quite a bit in our Sunday school class. We talked about the armor of God there in Ephesians chapter 6. And the question came up in our Sunday school class. In verse 16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And that sparked a discussion on why the above all. above all, taking the shield of faith. What is it about faith that is above all? And as we looked at some of the other aspects of the armor, the preparation or the being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and all those, you know, those have a very important part. As we live our Christian lives, we could hardly remove one of those and still have that complete armor. And yet, there is the above all, taking the shield of faith. And so, maybe because I was already thinking a lot on that line the last while, the aspect of faith, I was reminded of a few devotional meditations that I had read quite recently, and I'm going to refer quite a bit to them, maybe even read some of those parts of that those devotions. The aspect of trusting God and seeing God, the aspect of being able to place our confidence in God, and I think the question was asked in our Sunday school class, why do we struggle so much with believing God? Why is that such a constant, you know, we often fail that. We tend to grab life with our own strength. We make our own choices. We ignore the voice of God too many times, and we end up in defeat. And so why do we struggle with that? And I'm not sure that I have an answer necessarily for that question, but the fact remains that it is much easier for us to live by sight than it is by faith. We can much easier trust in the things that we can see than the things that are unseen. And so I believe that may be part of the reason, at least, why we have such a... And we are, by the curse of sin as it came into the world, we've inherited that, and I think it's so much easier for us to trust in ourselves. The story of Joseph, I'm going to refer to that a good bit here in the beginning, is quite a challenging story. As we think about the aspect of seeing God and trusting God in all of life, the account begins in Genesis 37 there of Joseph at the age of 17, where he had these dreams, and briefly going through the story there, he had these dreams and it caused a lot of conflict there with his brothers. And we know the details of that story, how that finally his brothers sold him into slavery. And it seemed like life went downhill from there for Joseph. And as he was deceived by the deceptive Potiphar's wife there and sold in, and cast into prison, and how he was neglected there and even seemed like almost forgotten. But I'd like to focus especially on the climax here of the story. I call it the climax of where Joseph revealed himself to his brothers in Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 45, that is. I'd like to read Joseph's statement to his brothers again in thinking about this thing of seeing God in everything and trusting God in all the details of life. It says here in verse 3, I'll break in, of Genesis 45, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me forth, God did send me before you to preserve life." Notice that. His focus on God here in these verses. "For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me now, unto me, and tarry not." I was just blessed in reviewing again the life of Joseph. And in reading these verses, how could he so confidently give recognition to God in his direction in his life? I mean, it would have seemed like there when he was cast in the prison that God had completely forgotten him. And I think too many of us would struggle with that, just probably with discouragement and with doubt and with the feeling that, you know, for as faithful as he had been to entrusting and serving God up till then why this? And as we look at the life of all of the patriarchs, the key figures in the Bible, we notice this common thread of faith that they all had, and Paul, including Paul, as we look in the writings of Paul, there's so many times that he recognizes the hand of God even in his difficulty. And here I'll read a little bit from an excerpt from the devotional. If I see God in everything, he will calm and color everything I see. Perhaps the circumstances causing my sorrows will not be removed and my situation will remain the same, but if Christ is brought into my grief and gloom as my Lord and Master, he will surround me with songs of deliverance, as it says in Psalms 32:7. And we notice, and we remember how Paul and Silas, as they were cast into prison, they weren't cast down, but again, they saw the hand of God. And they trusted that hand. They trusted his power. They trusted his plan, even if it was, I'm sure, quite different than what they had expected and brought physical suffering there in that case. But they sang in prison and experienced the deliverance and the power of God. To see God, and to be sure that his wisdom and power never fail and his love never changes, to know that even in the most distressing dealings with me are for my deepest, to know that his most distressing dealings with me are for my deepest spiritual gain, is to be able to say in the midst of bereavement, sorrow, pain, and loss, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised, or blessed be the name of the Lord, is what Job said there in Job 1:21. And again, we see that faith in God in the life of Job in making that statement. Seeing God in everything is the only thing that will make me loving and patient with people who annoy and trouble me. Then I will see others as the instruments God uses to accomplish his tender and wise purposes for me. And I will even find myself inwardly thanking them for the blessings they have become to me. Nothing but seeing God will completely put an end to all complaining and thoughts of rebellion. That thought has been quite a challenge to me as I live my life. Where does complaining, where does rebellion, where does discontent, grumbling come from? Isn't it a sign of a lack of faith in an all-knowing God and an all-wise God? And perhaps we fail to see the hand of God in shaping our lives and the circumstances around us. I'd like to read just a short poem in conclusion in relation to that. Give me a new idea, I said, while thinking on a sleepless bed, a new idea that'll bring to earth a balm for souls of priceless worth, that'll give men thoughts of things above and teach them how to serve and love, that'll banish every selfish thought and rid men of the sins they fought. The new thought came, just how I'll tell. 'Twas when on bended knee I fell and sought from him who knows full well the way our sorrow to expel. See God in all things, great and small, and give him praise whatever befall. In life or death, in pain or woe, see God and overcome the foe. Overcome your foe. I saw him in the morning light. He made the day shine clear and bright. I saw him in the noontide hour and gained from him refreshing shower. At evening, when worn and sad, he gave me help and made me glad. At midnight, when on tossing bed, my weary soul to sleep he led. I saw him when great losses came and found he loved me just the same. When heavy loads I had to bear, I found he lightened every care. By sickness, sorrow, sore distress, he calmed my mind and gave me rest. He's filled my heart with joyous praise since I gave him the upward gaze. 'Twas new to me, yet old to some, this thought that to me has become a revelation of the way we all should live throughout the day. For as each day unfolds its light, we'll walk by faith and not by sight. Life will indeed a blessing bring if we see God in everything. What a challenge to our faith as we live our life this week. We don't know what's ahead of us. I know for some there's been some disappointments. I was thinking of Brother Delbert and what he's facing there, but in all that we face, can we reach out and find the hand of God and trust that hand that it is wise and all-knowing and shaping us through even the difficulties that life can bring? So shall we stand for prayer? Heavenly Father, our wise, all-knowing Father, we bow in before you this evening and thank you that in your love and tender care for us, that you shape our lives through the circumstances that come our way. And Lord, increase our faith, increase our vision and focus on you, that we can truly see your hand and trust it more completely, and allow you to more completely shape us by those circumstances that you intend to bring in for our betterment. And just help us that we can be patient with the situations around us, whether it be relationships, whether it be the difficulties of life, whether it be sickness, whatever, and that we can just commit all to you and know that you are working out the best for us. Bless our evening of singing together. May we be inspired and lifted to see that vision of you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, well, thank you very much for that. So next, let's take their church hymnals and turn to number 84. All right, it's number 84.
Oh,
for one more song. Does anyone have a selection from the church hymnal? Number 35. All right, so next we'll have the children sing, and Andrea Schrock will have that.
Thank you.
right. Thank you for that, children. For our next song, take your church hymnal and turn to song number 368. For your next song, let's turn to song number 534. Okay, at this time, we're going to have an impromptu men's group. So any men that want to come up, bring your church hymnal and come on up.
Have birth.
All right. Thank you all that joined that. So now let's take our church hymnals and turn to number 84. So I guess we won't sing that twice. Somebody needs to make a little clearer notes. It is a really good song, but I wasn't doing that on purpose. So let's see. Actually, let's turn to number 123.
Thank you.
All right. So now, tonight with people being gone and things, we don't have anyone to lead the chorus exactly. And so I thought what we might do is we might do another impromptu mixed group for whoever wants to come up. And we'll sing a couple of songs by memory. So you all can come up with
it.
Cross over the sea,
over the deep.
I think that's about all we have planned for tonight, so we'll turn the rest of the time over to one of the ministers.